presence we are under, and here in your presence heaven and earth become one, and here in your presence all things are new. Here in your presence, everything bows before you. Found in your hands, fullness of joy. Every fear suddenly wiped away. Here in your presence.
Hallelujah. Do you feel the presence of the Lord here this evening? Amen. Amen. God is so great. God is so great. You may be seated. If you're a guest of ours here in the auditorium, we want to recommend to you the connection card. If If you haven't received one, you can get one from one of the ushers or at the kiosk in the vestibule. Just a few points of information that we're asking you to share so that we can let you know how much we appreciate your visit with us. And we'd like also to give you a little gift if you will turn this connection card in at the kiosk before you leave. And if you're online, of course, you can let us know that you're with us by connecting with us on the bit.ly link there on your screen. Thank you for that. Also want to let you know about our giving options. You can give here in the building. We have a receptacle, a box, a plexiglass box on the kiosk in the vestibule. You can drop your offering in there. You can visit cgcmadison.org/giving, or you can mail your offering in 5301 Commercial Avenue, or text to give. And if you do that, please make sure that you do designate your offering. And we are currently raising funds for Move the Mission. And if you want to give to Move the Mission, you can designate that by SFC, which used to be Sheaves for Christ. So 608-719-3883. And please take advantage of those opportunities. Our Move the Mission offering will be coming to a close relatively soon. So please, if you plan on giving to that, or even if you haven't planned on giving to that, take advantage of the time left and make sure that you do contribute. Move the Mission does just that, provides transportation for missionaries all around the globe, and contributes to almost every ministry arm of the United Pentecostal Church International in one way or another. Gives large amounts of grants and funds to North American missions to help missionaries here, even in our own country, to establish new churches. So please consider all that when you decide to give. Amen. Everyone say, move the mission. Amen. This Saturday, back to school bash. All right, volunteers are needed to help pass out supplies. We're asking that you arrive by 8:30 and be done by noon, maybe earlier. And we want to know if you are able to help on Saturday or help set up on Friday, if you would stand and volunteer your services. All right. Somebody should get this on video or something, I guess. Body cam. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Looking ahead also, on September 12th, it's our baby dedication service, baby dedication Sunday. If you'd like to dedicate your child, Dan Powell said he wanted to rededicate Jordan. I don't know if that's necessary or not, but if you're looking to dedicate your child to the Lord, you can register at the link on the screen or by scanning the QR code on the flyers that are on the door as you leave this evening. Please take advantage of that. Also, there are out in the vestibule door hangers for back to school bash. So you can take a handful of those and hit your neighborhood. Just put it on the door. Free drive-through school supply giveaway is what it says. Gives the time and the place. That's a great way to just invite people. Maybe you get a chance to talk to one of your neighbors that you haven't had that opportunity before. This time we'd like to ask you to stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. We do have a prayer request that was turned in on Sunday. Barbara Barber, Sister Anita's mother, and I don't see Sister Anita here tonight. Sister Anita's mother has lung cancer and is in a lot of pain. So we want to pray for Barbara. Barbara, pray for Sister Anita. I'm sure that's a heavy burden for her as well. So let's remember them in prayer. Let's pray for our service here this evening. And anyone here that has a need, if you would identify it by lifting of your hands. I have a couple people in mind right now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you, God, for your mercy and your grace, which endure forever and are new every morning. We are grateful, O God, that we can come into the house of God. We stand here, Lord, on behalf of our brothers and sisters and those in need. We pray, God, for Barbara, O God, for healing. God, you can do a miracle just by your word. And we ask, O God, that you would release your word, O God, for Barbara, for healing from this cancer. That you would strengthen and bless and release a word of faith for Sister Anita, that even now as she thinks of her mother, oh God, that she would have faith to pray a prayer of faith for her mother's sake. We pray, God, for a miracle in this situation, that you may be glorified, that your name may be lifted up in all of this. We pray, oh God, for these many needs that are represented here. We pray, God, for our loved ones, our friends, our relatives, those that we have witnessed to, those who have received the word of God, that tonight, oh God, as we stand in their stead, that you, by your Holy Spirit, would touch these lives that are represented. We ask, oh God, for your blessing on this service here tonight. In all that we do, bless and anoint our pastor. Bless and anoint this worship team, oh God. And help each of us, oh God, to surrender our hearts to you afresh and anew so that you can have your way in our lives and in our hearts and our minds. We surrender. We give ourselves to you. We give this time to you. We give this service into your hands. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise God. Let's worship.
Take me to the place where your peace and your love overflows. Where my heart is set free from all shame and guilt. Chains are undone. Our run. Thank you.
perish, then I just cry, holy, and you fall like a mighty rain.
Praise the Lord, church. Spirit breakout. You could be seated this evening. I get myself situated here. So great to be in the house of the Lord tonight. And just a little bit of an update here on Sunday morning. We've changed our lineup a little bit. Brother Seidel is going to be taking the teaching session on Sunday morning, and we have a special guest that's going to be here, and his name's Brother DJ, Brother Daniel Pearson. He's a good friend of Brother Jay Henry's. Actually, he was Brother Jay Henry's best man at his wedding, and I believe he won you to the Lord. Is that correct, Brother Jay? So he'll be here, so we're excited about that. And we're going to have a great service on Sunday. We've been in a series, and this has been pretty much most of our summer that we've been in this on and off. And the title of this was Lord Teach Us, Lord Teach Us. And we have been talking the last few weeks here about it's the fruits. What can fruit do for you? And tonight I want to just conclude this summer series, and I also want to conclude this particular portion of our summer series on what happens to rotten fruit. What happens to rotten fruit? Now, I love going into Quick Trip. I don't know if any of you are Quick Trip fans here. I know Brother Peter Sandin goes in every morning and gets his Mountain Dew and his donut, and they have those Glazer donuts that we're getting ready. My wife and I were leaving next week to go on vacation, and I usually make a trip to Quick Trip, and I will pick up a box or two of those Glazer donuts, put them in the refrigerator because I love them when they're nice and cold, and they just the frosting, that sugar frosting. I'm sure they're healthy for you. Sugar cane has got to be a fruit of some sort, I think, But I love going into Quick Trip, and the first thing you smell when you go into Quick Trip, at least for me, the first thing that my nostrils pick up is the smell of fresh bananas. And if I breathe in, probably because I'm not a coffee drinker, some of you, it may be coffee when you walk in, but I smell those fresh bananas. And Quick Trip, from what I've been told, has their own banana farms somewhere in Central America, and they grow their own bananas, and they grow lots of them, so that's why you can go to Quick Trip and get fresh bananas all the time. We were up at camp over the summer. We were working, or actually in May, and we were working on some of the rooms up there. And we left, and my wife and I, we came back a week or so later because we had some more work to get done. And there's sitting on the table, our picnic table, there's a bag. And we knew that we didn't leave it there when we left because we try to pick up after ourselves. And I went to the bag, and I went to open the bag. Of course, I shouldn't have done that, but curiosity, and opened the bag, and there was rotten bananas in the bag. Now, I don't know if you've ever really smelled rotten bananas, but they didn't smell like Quick Trip bananas, okay? So they're rotten fruit. I've had bags of apples go bad, and you'll have, they say, there's that saying that, you know, one rotten apple will spoil the whole bunch. That's really true. It really will. If you have a rotten apple and a bushel of apples, and it's always on the bottom, and all the fruit around it, it begins to become rotten, just like that rotten apple. Now, we've been talking about fruits of the Spirit. We're going to talk a little bit tonight about what happens when those fruits go bad. We're going to read from Matthew chapter 7. Remember, we talked about parables, and I said it's very important. One of our lessons was to read before the parable and after the parable. So your little assignment is to read before the parable so you know exactly where we're coming from here tonight. You'll catch up into this. But it says, "You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns are figs of thistles. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down or cut down and cast into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now look carefully at what is being said. Good fruit, bad fruit, rotten fruit. He's leaving the parable as far as talking about a tree and talking about good and evil, and it begins to kind of turn this around to where you kind of get the hint that he's not really talking about trees. Therefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he doth the will of the Father, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. Now we're going to go to John chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, where Jesus makes this statement. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Ye shall know them by their fruits. This is a very, very powerful statement within itself. In all of our dealings with humanity, this one simple scripture, this one very simple, simple scripture can be a guiding principle by which you and I are able to judge another person's character. This verse allows us as humanity to see into the window of the heart, the soul, and the mind of every man. We've often been said, or it's often said, that we as humans, I cannot read Brother Kerry Millen's mind. I can't see what's in his heart. But if I'm correctly reading this verse, this very principle does allow me as a human being to use my godly wisdom that is given to us by God to be able to look into a heart and soul and mind of an individual, and you will be able to tell their character by their fruit. Are we in agreement with that? So by looking at the fruit that is brought forth from the life of an individual, we can truly see whether they are rooted and grounded in the true vine, which is Jesus Christ. In the 15th verse of Matthew chapter 7, Jesus warns us that there will come into our midst ravenous wolves, hungry and hunting for those who are weak in the faith, and susceptible to every wind of doctrine. And if we are going to survive the attacks or fall prey on their onslaught, it will be determined by our ability to recognize their wolf spirit or their fruit. Their rotten fruit when they come around. You see, it's a wise Christian, it's a seasoned, a mature Christian who will try the spirits to see whether they are of God or not. We're going to be talking tonight about rotten fruit. I recently read an article, and I was telling Pastor Seidel this past Tuesday in our after our staff meeting, I said, sometimes I just have to just turn off the internet, to turn off the news. I can only stand so much. and I've just had enough, and it gets me aggravated and frustrated and all of these. But I see this happening more and more and more, and I get all of these. I have a number of different, I guess you could call them pastoral helps type websites that send you all kinds of information, and sometimes they have some articles in there that'll just kind of bend your mind a little bit. I was reading last week, and one of these articles come across, and it was talking about the world we live in today, the state of Christianity in our world. The state of Christianity in our world is on life support. It's a sad state that we live in when people call themselves Christians, and you will begin to understand as I read this. This article talks about a lady, young lady. She proclaims to be a Christian, but she has an online stripping business. And she feels like this is what God wants her to do, that she's called into this particular ministry. And she claims to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but it's without all the baggage of thousands of years of man-made doctrine. And she claims that whenever she asks God about stripping naked online, he always gives her the same answer. Yes, it's okay. Keep doing it. You're being a witness. She has no shortage of followers. Thousands of followers. You see, I've seen more Christians today quote scriptures on web, social media. We'll just put it out, social media. Quote scriptures on social media and pass judgment to others, all while they're cussing at the same time. They get upset at ministers and pastors for judging them, yet they will get online and they will judge other people and they will preach and cuss all at the same time. What a ministry! I watched a man behind a pulpit. He was a minister. And I've never heard a minister openly, defiantly cuss and swear behind a pulpit, but he was letting it at it. All in the name of Christianity. You see, things are becoming worse and worse as a superficial or a downright, if I could just say, false message is proclaimed day and night, 24/7. It spreads like a tsunami on social media. I have seen it. I have heard it. I've read and watched people state where that Christian Jesus, to a Christian, Jesus is the way, but to a Muslim, Muhammad is the way, and to a Buddhist, it's Buddha is the way, and there's more than one way to get to heaven. It doesn't really matter if you follow after Jesus or if you follow after Muhammad or if you follow after Buddha. It doesn't matter, but we have to understand that Jesus says in John 14:6 that I am the way, I am the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. You see, in other words, our world is full. Our world is full of rotten, fruited, self-proclaiming Christians. You see, we may listen to Brother Lee Stone King, and we may listen to Brother David Bernard, and we love to listen to Brother Raymond Woodard as he preaches fantastic messages and evangelistic preaching and so deep and such. But the problem is the world is not listening to these voices. We have to understand that their fruit is growing from a very different vine. And we're only fooling ourselves, because the rotten fruit of the world, of the Christian world, it's the rotten fruit that's spreading the message and everybody's listening to it. You see, it's a message of salvation without any kind of sacrifice. You don't have to have the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ upon your life. That's not a requirement. You see, it's the logical response to this modern day gospel that says Jesus died for your sins and took away all of your guilt, so you don't ever have to feel condemned anymore, and you don't ever have to let anyone ever judge you. Just be you. Just be you. That's what it means to be saved. Be the best you that you can be. You see, this is nothing new. As long as grace has been preached, grace has been abused. That's why Paul wrote, we have to understand, he's writing to the Roman church in Romans chapter 6, verse 15, shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. God forbid. This is also why Jude warned in his book in chapter 4, ungodly people whose fruit has become rotten. They perverted the grace of God into a license for immorality and sinful thinking and actions. All of these words were written within the first century. Within the first century. A time when some of the apostles were still alive, and it's no surprise with so much gospel light being preached today that the message of grace is being abused all the more. We're talking about rotten fruit, church. In many circles, it's more important for pastors and churches to be culturally relevant. I'm so sick of hearing about cultural relevance. You know what cultural relevant is? Remember back in the 60s? I'm talking the 1960s. How many of you remember the 1960s? Remember when they used to say it was everything was hip? It was cool. Groovy, man. That's what cultural relevance is today. It's just recycled puke from the 60s. You see, we'd rather be hip than holy. You see, while all the churches, I've been to growth seminars. There's nothing wrong with going to a church growth seminar. But you see, when all the seminars, they emphasize relative or relevance more than repentance, then there's a problem. My Bible tells me, except ye repent. Except ye repent. It also tells me that all have sinned and come short of the glory. I need repentance every day in my life because I get aggravated at cultural relevance and have attitudes over it. Repentance is more important in my life now than it was before I was even saved. In many churches, listen, I've listened to hundreds of ministers online, hundreds of them. I get people send me links and all kinds of stuff. I've listened to some of these men preach multiple dozens of messages and never one time heard them talk about sin. But they're really on the latest woke topic of interest. Controversial issues that are addressed repeatedly in the Bible, are not addressed at all. We can't talk about certain things anymore because we don't want to offend anyone. Instead, the sermons are carefully planned out to make you feel good about yourself. I mean, after all, if you come into church and you're in complete rebellion against God, you don't want to leave feeling condemned. You want to leave feeling good about yourself. Rotten fruit, listen to me, you will feel good all the way into a devil's hell. Because you're in the wrong tree. Your fruit's coming from the wrong vine. Many churches have become nothing more than a church of gospel, a gospel of self-esteem. They're not preaching the death, burial, and resurrection. They're preaching self-esteem. Feel good about yourself. Oh, you got to feel good about yourself when you leave. That's why we have a crisis of holiness in the church today. For the record, I want you to understand that the Bible, holiness in Scripture, is a beautiful word. It's a beautiful word. It describes an incredibly holy, holy, holy God. I've said this before. I don't think we're really going to see much yoga pants and spandex around the throne. I don't see a holy God saying that is going, let it in. You see, how can the world not be in such a mess today? We wonder why in the world is everything in such a mess and going to hell in a handbasket at record pace? It's because we have so much rotten fruit. And that rotten fruit has spoiled and rotted everything else it comes in contact with. You see, we would rather make you feel comfortable than convicted. I'm not one to beat people because I myself am a sinner. You may say, oh, Pastor, are you serious? You mean, well, you know, sometimes our attitudes and sometimes things. I don't go out and cheat on my wife, and I don't go out and have a beer when I go to Black Bear. I'm not tempted to bottle, just belly up to the bar and say, give me a martini or give me a Bloody Mary or Long Island iced tea or whatever your favorite may have been. I'm not tempted with that stuff, but boy, sometimes attitudes. It's easy to get a bad attitude when you have to read and deal with some of the junk that you have to read and deal with today. But shortly before he was beheaded in Rome by the Emperor Nero, Paul wrote to his spiritual son, Timothy. And we read in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. He says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Say, Timothy, whatever you do, I charge you to preach the word. It may hurt. People may not like it. People may not want to listen to you, but preach the word. He says, be ready in season, out of season. And he goes on in words that our human flesh doesn't like to hear. And if our human flesh doesn't like to hear this, it means we have rotten fruit going on in our hearts. We talked about the fruits of the Spirit. We talked about all of that. We're not going to go back into that. Just listen to, go online and catch up if you haven't. But he says to be ready to preach in season and out of season. Reprove. Oh. Rebuke. How dare you tell me how to live. And exhort. But he doesn't say it to do it in anger and do it out of frustration. He says to do it with complete patience. That's one of the fruits. One of the good fruits. Falls kind of in the blueberry category, but still it's a fruit. And teaching. Then he goes on to say, and I think he's describing today, he may have just been describing his day as well, but it sounds so much like today, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching or sound doctrine, but having itching ears that they may accumulate for themselves teachers, preachers, pastors, leaders to suit their own passions. We wonder why we're in a mess today in our world is because we have voted the mess in. We've been in a mess for decades, so we ain't going to blame it on the guy that just got in. This has not been something that just happened in the last few months. This has been going on for decades. Teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. We are in such a season again today. One in which Paul's counsel to Timothy that he reprove, rebuke, and exhort is being judged today to be severely outdated and out of touch. Listen, God wants you to feel convicted. God wants you to repent. God wants you to turn from your wicked ways. Yes, he wants you to be happy, but it's not all just about my happiness. It's also about my salvation. What we need instead of right preaching of the gospel, one is that we realize how guilty we are because of our sins. Listen, as much as we desire to always manifest the fruits of the Spirit within our lives, we can't allow rot to get within us. You can have rotten apples, you can have rotten bananas, you can have rotten strawberries, you can have rotten blueberries, you can have rotten papaya, rotten watermelon. Every fruit of the Spirit can become rotten. You see, we got to understand something. We deserve divine judgment, but it's because of the grace of God that he gloriously paid for our sins, and Jesus Christ died on a cross to liberate us, to allow us, give us the opportunity to live for him. What we need is the right preaching about grace. A preaching that not only tells us about the depths of God's love as he expressed through the cross, but also how his love calls us out of rebellion and out of disobedience and out of self-will and out of sin, a love that will take that rotten fruit within us and revive us. Jesus says in John, you see, we get our behavior. We talk about the fruits of the Spirit we've talked about. Now we're talking about the rotten fruit. We get our behavior from one of two sources. Jesus says in John 8, chapter 42 to 44, and Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Now listen closely here. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So when we really get down to the crux of the matter, how can we know the difference between a follower of Christ and those who follow after the evil? the devil. Or as Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 says, sheep in wolves' clothing. The answer is very plain and simple. Is their fruit rotten? It's pretty easy. You could even tell a banana if it's rotten. You don't have to open it up and peel it. You can look on the outside of it. You can see the bruising of it. You don't have to go very far in a bushel of apples before you can find the rotten apples. You see, what this is telling us, or what this parable is telling us, is we have to carefully inspect. Now, it's warning us about sheep in wolves' clothing, talking about false prophets. How that in the last days there's going to be all kinds of people speaking out, claiming that they are prophetic. And I've had so many people send me so many crazy letters saying that God has spoke to them about this, that, and the other. And I'm like, oh boy. Real simple. What's the fruit? We got to carefully inspect, church. Look into the things that are brought forth from the life of an individual. What are they saying? What are you saying? How do they act? How are you acting? How am I acting? You see, because this will determine which vine their fruit is growing from. Whether they're connected to the true vine, or to the root of bitterness. And the root of bitterness, if we have bitterness in our heart, it will rot everything. Bitterness will rot love. Bitterness will rot patience. Bitterness will rot. It will rot everything. So are we connected to the true vine, or to the root of bitterness, or the devil himself? Understand, the scripture says in no uncertain terms that Jesus Christ is the true vine. And it is because we, as Christ-like Christians, full of the Spirit, having love, having the love of Jesus Christ within us, and striving to become more like Him every day. Remember, they were first called Christians at Antioch. A person that is living the fruits of the Spirit. Listen, if you're living the fruits, if you're connected to the right vine, you don't have to worry that you're going to wake up one day just being a gossiper. You don't have to worry that all of a sudden you're going to be a troublemaker and a thorn in the side of the body of Christ. You're connected to the right vine. We're connected to Jesus Christ. We don't have to worry. Should never have to worry about that. I don't have to wake up one morning thinking, boy, I'm going to hate Jay Henry all day today. I just don't like him. He didn't talk to me Sunday at church. Maybe he was just busy. I mean, these are silly things, but these are things that we let get in. The one who loves Jesus, whose fruit is Christ-like, is far too busy doing things for God's kingdom. They're listening to the voice of God. We talked about that. They're following the leading of the Holy Spirit. They're allowing the fruits of the Spirit to flow through their lives. And they don't have time to cause problems for anybody else. They're focused on getting ministry, and they're focused on doing something for the kingdom of God. They're concerned about church, their community, and lost souls. They're consumed with the work that Jesus Christ has called them to do, and they don't have time to sit down and think of ways to get even to those who hurt them. They don't have time to plan and scheme on how to have their own way. They don't have time to think about things to complain about. If there's something that needs fixed, they're fixing it. If there's something that needs correcting, they want to help correct it. They don't stew over it and fire up a spirit of contention and division. They bend their knees before the Lord, asking God for wisdom and direction. They're careful not to offend a brother or a sister. And if there's work to be done, they're not hiding in a corner to figure out how to get away from it. They will jump up with both feet, take out all of their energy and ability to say, you know what, I'm there for you, Sister Stephanie. We're going to take and reach out to a lost community on Saturday. But we got to work at it Friday night. She's already working at it, bringing supplies in. I'm convinced that lazy, uninspired people are not connected to the true vine, but they're rotten fruit. Well, I know that everyone deserves, and there is a time to where that after you work hard that you can rest. There's nothing wrong with rest. I firmly believe that on the seventh day when God rested, that that was a pattern for all of humanity, and I love my Sunday afternoon rest period. It's biblical. I love it more as I get older. You see, I don't believe that God ever called us to be couch potatoes. There's way too much to be done. What does Luke 2:49 said? And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And nighttime is coming so fast. You notice the days are getting shorter, church? They're getting shorter physically and they're getting shorter spiritually. You see, these are the words of Jesus, and Jesus Christ is the true vine, and those who are connected to the true vine, their life, their fruit all comes from the same source. Did you get that? All comes from the same source, and they will produce the same fruit as that vine. So if you are connected to the Jesus Christ vine, your fruit will be holy, your fruit will be righteous, your fruit will be fruit from him. If you connect to the vine of bitterness, listen to this. How will we know whether or not? By the attitude that we have towards the Word of God. I want to remind you again of John chapter 15. I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. I found this out when my wife and I had grapes. You want beautiful grapes. You want a lot of foliage. Don't ever prune it. It'll grow. It covered our whole side of our garage and grew up on our garage roof. But boy, we sure didn't get much fruit. But you see, our Heavenly Father is constantly trimming and working the branches of the true vine. So you can be on the wrong vine and allow bitterness and anger and all of that. You can also be on the true vine, and there's still a purging process. But you see, it's all in our attitude. It's all in our attitude. Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, is constantly trimming and working with the branches of the true vine. Why? Because he wants your fruit to be maximized. He wants our fruit to be maximized. Those branches are you and I, and if we are disciples of Jesus Christ, we're not a finished work yet. That song says, our children sing it, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. He's still working on me, church. He's still working on me. I'm not perfect. I'll never be perfect. But I want to grow in grace, and I want to grow in knowledge of the true vine every single day of my life. The second verse here, verse 15:2, tells us that the Father will remove every branch that doesn't bring forth fruit. whether it's rotten fruit, bad fruit, underdeveloped fruit, diseased fruit, and he will purge or purify and sanctify those branches that are bearing fruit so they can even be more productive. Have you ever felt God's pruning shears upon your life? If you can stand, and if our musicians, Brother Derek, can come. Have you ever felt him cutting away a rotten attitude? You ever have anger issues and you struggle with it and you say, God, help me with this, whatever you have to do, and he begins to do whatever he has to do, and then we get angry at him because it hurts. Our temperament, a prideful heart. Maybe the ministry that you're in right now is producing some fruit, but maybe it's not producing as much as you would like. You have to understand something. Sometimes God just desires to get rid of those parts of us that hinder our growth and development. He carefully studies his vine. I had to read a lot about grapes before I understood how grapes were. You have to carefully study the vine. You just don't go out with the weed eater and just have at it. You study the vine. You look at the branches. He studies his vine. He studies his church. He looks at the branches. He's looking at each and every one of our lives. And he's saying, you know what? This branch is producing too much diseased fruit. It's going to produce rotten fruit if I don't do something about it. So he begins to cut that off. Begins to cut that out. Sometimes it's things in our life. Sometimes it's people within the body of Christ that you wonder why all of a sudden are they gone. Maybe it could be that God just says, you know what? For the sake of the body, I'm going to have to prune. I'm going to have to cut this away. I've seen that happen as well. If one apple is rotten, the whole lot can rot. We've had that happen many times in the physical realm of life and in the spiritual realm of life. What does Paul say in 2 Corinthians 13:8? Little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You see, church, the battle for control of our lives will always rage within us. It's a battle for our very soul, and only you and I. Understand this. Only you and I can decide the outcome. Did you know that God doesn't force you to be saved and serve him? So God doesn't, and Satan is more than willing. It's our choice. It's our choice. Even in our faults and failures, Jesus Christ still loves us and is doing all that he can to prune those bad habits and attitudes out of our lives. If we choose to follow after Jesus Christ, we will one day be connected completely. And the fruits that we bear will be plentiful and it will be sweet. I want to challenge us today to hold on to the Lord. Never give up. But he does give us a warning. Unless we repent of our ways and turn back to him, we will have no option but to cut that rotten fruit from the vine and allow it to die. You see, God will not allow us to continue in sin and in sinful failure without there being a consequence Scripture tells us that the wages of sin is death. The consequences of sin is always death. And we can't allow that to happen. So get back. We have to go back to our first love with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. So I ask you tonight, my final statement, church, what can fruit do for you? What can fruit do for you? Brother Derek begins to lead us in worship. I want to open up this altar tonight. Perhaps, maybe, you need a little pruning. There's some areas in your life that have a little bit of rot. Maybe something's underdeveloped. You need to just cut it off and start over. I want to open up this altar as an opportunity to connect with the true vine. The true vine. God bless you.
Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you, oh, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes and wonder and show who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes and wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and we'll be right back.
Praise the Lord again, church. Thank you so very much for coming out tonight. If you haven't got all of this series, the summer series was Lord Teach Us. This last series we did was It's the Fruits. What can fruit do for you? So if you haven't got all of it, I encourage you to go online and listen to that. Once again, remember Friday night, if you signed up to help with the back to school bash, Sister Thompson, Brother Thompson right here down on the front. If you have any questions, you can feel free to contact with them. And then Saturday morning, we'll be back here and giving out school supplies, giving out fruit, showing fruit to the world, right? So God bless you. Thank you so very much, Brother Derek. And remember, Sunday morning, a change. Brother Seidel is going to be doing our pastor's Bible study or our Bible study portion. And then Brother Daniel Pearson is going to be taking our second session there. God bless you all. Love you. Appreciate you.